once again and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. Proverbs 22. We go through this blessed book, verse by verse. And this too, this verse is a great, great, great comfort to God's people. Proverbs 22, verse 10. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Now, the scripture declares without any controversy, cast out, drive out the scorner, that which scoffs at and despises the most sacred and precious of all things, the Word of God. Cast out the scorner, and here's the only way that contention and strife, reproach, is going to stop, is if the scorner is cast out. That's the only way. There's no other way. Now, knowing that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that's what the Lord set for. All Scripture, the Spirit of God, the Lord, God's Spirit. All Scriptures are concerning Him. Then we would do well to consider this Scripture in light of the honor, the glory, and the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to establish the foundation of this verse and the glory of Christ in it, we've got to begin at the beginning. Let's just go back to the beginning and ask ourselves this on contention, strife, reproach, knowing that it exists. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It sets forth, if the scorner's cast out, then the contention will go out. Strife and reproach is going to cease. Now, knowing that it exists, let me ask you this. Between whom does it exist? Really? I mean, you could say, well, it exists between men and men. Well, yeah, that's true. There's no doubt about that. But more importantly, contention, strife, and reproach is between God and men. Men against God. That's where. And when did all of that start? Where did it start? Now, it's in existence. I know that. But how did it get here? Well, it started in the garden. That's where it started. When Adam was created, God placed Adam in a garden, and this is what the Lord told Adam to do. You till this garden and watch it, guard it, watch over it. And of all the trees that's in the garden, you can eat of all the trees in the garden except one. One tree. So God set a boundary upon man. And concerning that one tree that was forbidden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that tree is off limits. In the day you eat of that tree, you're going to die. And Adam did that which the Lord forbid him to do. He ate of the tree. He ate of that fruit. And he died spiritually. And contention, and strife and reproach against God. We were all children of wrath, born that way. Even at all God's elect, how were they born? Well, they were born with contention and strife and reproach against God. That's the problem. Well, Adam, having done exactly what God told him not to do, Adam and Eve now, his wife, have got one desire. We're going to hide ourselves against God. They're ashamed of their nakedness, and they possess now a mind that's affected by sin, a carnal. Now they have a carnal mind. Now here's what the Scripture says concerning the carnal mind. To be carnally minded. What does that mean? To be carnally minded. Well, here's what it means. A mind that follows the inclination of a fallen nature, the flesh. It's a mind that follows after its own desires. I'll not have this man to rule over me. Well, what is that? That's contention. That's contention and strife and reproach and resentment and hatred. To be carnally minded is death. That is death. It's the mind that is enmity against God. What does that mean? It's hostile. It opposes God. It opposes what God says, what God purposes, God wills. No, that's what a carnal mind says. No, I'm not going to do that. No. I can handle my own destiny. Well, if the Lord leads you to yourself, yeah, you sure will. You'll get exactly what you want. But Lord, don't give me what my old carnal mind. Lord, that mind with which I was born, with contention and strife and reproach against you, it's not subject, it's not in subjection to the Word of God, the will of God, the gospel of God, the Christ of God, neither indeed can be. What does that mean? It means it can't. That's what it means. No man can come except the Father which has sent me draw him. No man can do that. So then they that are in the flesh, those that possess that carnal mind, they cannot please God. That's what Scripture. They cannot please God. It doesn't matter what you think. You can't. You just cannot do it. You can't think, say, or do anything that pleases God. They possess a mind, a will, and a heart that makes a mouth at and scoffs at God. It doesn't fear the Lord, doesn't reverence the Lord. The Lord before whom every man, every woman going to stand and give account. Scorns all the admonitions from the Word of God. We just read a precious passage of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5. You know why I asked, Lord, help me to bow to that. I want to. So, Here's the problem. Since the carnal mind, since the problem is the carnal mind, and the carnal mind, now listen to me, the carnal mind is the scorner. That is the scorner. Oh, we just manifest what we are by nature. A cat acts like a cat because it's a cat. A scorner acts like a scorner because he's got a heart that's a scorner. So, since we know that the scorner, the problem, the carnal mind, that is the scorner. That's where all, as a man thinketh in his heart, that's what he is. That's what he is. He's a scorner. So if man can cast out the scorner, if he can do that, then he's got some hope in himself. But without me, the Lord said, it's impossible. With man, it's impossible. What can man, how can I remove my old nature? I can't do that. How do I do that? I can't do that. How do I remove, and you know, you think this heart, well, that beating thing, right, that's located right here, you can pull that out. You didn't do anything for your nature. You just died in your nature. You didn't remove it. God's got to do something that I can't even figure out what he's doing. How do you remove a stony heart, a nature, and impart a new man? That's a miracle of God's grace. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard, his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. That's what the Lord said. So, man's problem is he's in spiritual bondage. I mean, we can't do anything about it. Proverbs 5:21-22. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. We're bound. So what must be done for a sinner to have peace with God? Well, here it is. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out, yea, strife and reproach shall cease. When the Spirit of God comes to an object of God's mercy, to gather him in regenerating grace out of the state of sin's bondage and unbelief, that sinner, that object of God's mercy, who is the scorner against God because he's got a carnal heart, that one that God's everlastingly loved and chosen in Christ, for whom Christ died and put away the guilt of his sin by his own shed blood, the Spirit of God does that which man could not do. What does he do? He casts out the scorner. He removes that carnal, stony heart of rebellion, though the presence, as I keep saying this all the time, the presence of sin is still there. But I tell you this, that old stony heart that hates God's not there. There's a new heart there that loves God, and it still wars against the presence of sin, but that heart of resentment and rebellion against God does not have dominion over God's people anymore. There's a new heart imparted, a heart of flesh. The only way we know that is because God told us there was. And we believe it. And that clean water of Christ's blood is mysteriously, miraculously applied. And that former rebel against God is now made new in regenerating grace. God imparts, gives spirit, and the fruit of that blessed spirit, the Holy Spirit. Now there's love. Now there's love for God, love for his people, love for his word, love for his gospel. There's agreement with God now. No contention now. God's people are not in contention with God. There's no strife against them. They love that new man. They loathe that old man is still there. You know that. Oh, wretched man that I... Who will deliver me, Paul says, from the body of this death? And now that sinner that possessed nothing but a scornful heart does something that he never desired to do. He comes to Christ. He comes by faith. He casts himself upon the mercy of God, because the Lord has given him a desire, made him willing in the day of God's power. Calls out for mercy like old blind Bartimaeus. And the Lord hears. God giving him a new eyes, new ears to see, eyes to hear. You know what I'm talking about. Eyes to see and ears to hear. And he's robed in the righteousness of Christ. And now contention and quarreling and discord previously existed in that stony heart of unbelief is cast out. And strife and reproach, shame ceases. And all of a sudden, just like old Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, letters of authority. The Lord stopped him, arrested him, revealed himself to him. Saul of Tarsus said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Before he was going to go take the Lord's people, he was resisting the Lord. He said, "You're persecuting me." Now no more contention against God, against God's people. Yeah, there's still that flesh, as I said, that lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Why? Because they're contrary one to another. But there's reconciliation. Peace has been established before God. Paul said in Romans 5:10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Oh, the blessed state of having the scorner cast out from his place of dominion, contention. And all that Almighty God's been pleased to regenerate and reveal himself to and saves them by his grace. And has shown them mercy and compassion. The scripture says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Now here's what the scripture says about salvation being of the Lord. "Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease." That's true, isn't it? That's how God saves a sinner. Saves them. Throws that old contentious heart out. Gives them a new one. Reveals himself to them. They just love to hear that story over and over and over again. I pray God bless that to our hearts for Christ's sake. All right, Gary.